চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতাং যেন তস্মৈ শ্রী গুরবে নমঃ। শ্রী চৈতন্য মনোধিষ্ঠং স্থাপিতং যেন ভূতলে স্বয়ং রূপ কদামহম দদাতি স্বপদান্তিকম্। বন্দেহং শ্রীগুরো শ্রীযুতপদকমলম শ্রীগুরুন বৈষ্ণবাংশ্চ শ্রীরূপং সাগ্রজাতং সহগণ রঘুনাথান্বিতং ত্বং সজীবম্। সাদ্বৈতং সাবধূতং পরিজন সহিতং কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য দেবং। শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ পদান সহগণ ললিতা শ্রী বিশাখান্বিতাঞ্চ। আজানুলম্বিত ভুজৌ কনকাবদাতৌ সংকীর্তনৈকপিতরৌ কমলায়তাক্ষৌ। বিশ্বম্ভর দ্বিজবর যুগধর্ম পাল বন্দে জগত প্রিয়কর করুণাবতার। হে কৃষ্ণ করুণা সিন্ধু দীনবন্ধো জগৎপতে গোপেশ গোপিকা কান্ত রাধা কান্ত নমস্তুতে। তপ্ত কাঞ্চন গৌরাঙ্গী রাধে বৃন্দাবনেশ্বরী বৃষভানুসুতে দেবী প্রণমামি হরি প্রিয়ে। বাঞ্ছাকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভ্যেব চ পতিতানাং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ। হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে। হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। As it has been announced before, that today is a special day, and today we are going to hold a second initiation ceremony of Sunil Madhav Das. Radhanath Maharaj was asking me little while ago why Sunil Madhav had to wait for 10 years to get his second initiation. And I gave the reason that Sunil Madhav is running a business which is a very, very involving thing for him. He has a family to maintain, and on top of that, he has taken up the responsibility of managing this temple as a temple president. And I felt that he was already quite stressed with all three very, very demanding responsibilities. Actually, just temple president's responsibility alone is a full-time responsibility. To run a business, again, it's another full-time responsibility. And also to take care of the family is another full-time responsibility. So he had already these three very important responsibilities to take care of simultaneously. And that's why I was not very eager to push him towards taking second initiation, because second initiation also, Brahmin initiation, demands quite a lot, and so anyway, this was the reason why Sunil Madhav had to wait for 10 years, and or rather I did not go out of my way to give him second initiation so far. Initiation means the beginning of spiritual life. Generally, the spiritual life in early days, pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to demand the formal initiation, because unless and until one was initiated, one could not start his spiritual life. Spiritual life involved chanting mantra. That is how spiritual life used to begin. And the mantras used to be kept as a secret. In other ages, previously, mantras were kept as a secret, and only by the mercy of the spiritual master, one used to get the mantra. Mantras were kept as a secret. The guru gave the mantra only to a qualified candidate, accepting him as a disciple. The mantra he used to give in a silent way, just whispering into the disciple's ears. Because the mantras are very powerful spiritual sound vibration. The mantra power was, or rather is, more, mantras are more powerful than anything you can think of. The power of mantra actually takes one from the material nature to the spiritual sky. That is the power that the mantra has. So anything that is very powerful, one had to be very careful about who has that. Because if it goes into a wrong hand, and if it is misutilized, the power of mantra is misutilized, then it will cause a calamity in the society. Therefore the mantras were kept as a secret. And the guru used to give the mantra to a qualified candidate only. Those days mantras were not available in mantras were not available through tape recorder or CD. Mantras were not even available in the written form publicly. Mantras were kept in such a secret way. It's only the guru who used to give the mantra to a qualified candidate. And who is the guru? The guru also is a bona fide disciple of a bona fide spiritual master who had the mantra. And his guru gave him the mantra. And this is how the discipline, through the disciplic succession, this mantra used to be transmitted. And those mantras are known as Gayatris. Mantra actually meant Gayatri. And Gayatri is the mantra. By chanting that, one could become delivered. Ganat Trayate Iti Gayatri. One used to sing this mantra. And by singing this mantra, meditating upon the mantra, he used to become delivered from the material bondage and used to be elevated to the spiritual sky. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made not only the mantra, the Maha Mantra, the most powerful mantra, the greatest of all mantras, he made it public. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave Maha Mantra without any reservation or any consideration of the qualification of the candidate. So since Mahaprabhu gave the mantra publicly to anyone and everyone, that's why after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his line, this mantra has been available, even though one may not have received it formally through the process of initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. But still, in our line, there is the custom of receiving the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also through the process of initiation. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he gave the mantra, he just gave it to anybody and everybody. And he even told them, just go out and distribute this mantra. And let everybody chant it. Let everybody collectively, congregationally sing it loudly. And while Mahaprabhu was discussing with Haridas Thakur about the holy name, Mahaprabhu revealed the fact that louder the mantra, better, louder the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, better is the effect. Whereas pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the condition or the consideration of chanting the mantra was, more silent it is, better it is. Mantra is generally chanted in three ways. They are called Bachik, Upangshu and Manasa. Bachik chanting of the mantra indicates the lips are vibrating, but sound can be heard only by the chanter himself. Although his lips are vibrating, there is a very soft sound, but nobody else can actually hear it. Since the mantra is secret, it is not to be chanted loudly, so that anybody else could hear. Upangshu is internal chanting. Not even the lips are quivering. Mantra is chanted internally. And manasa, in mind, one goes from one syllable of the mantra to the other syllable, meditating upon the meanings of the mantra. So Bachik was of the lowest order. The better than Bachik was the silent chanting, internal chanting. And even better than internal chanting is the mental chanting. Whereas the Hare Krishna Mahamantra Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that the louder it is, better it is. And even better is that get as many people as possible and chant, so that the sound will spread everywhere. Why? Because this sound of the transcendental sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will purify everybody and everything. Like, not only the chanter will benefit from chanting the mantra, but even those who would hear the mantra will become delivered. Even the animals and birds and reptiles, even when they hear the sound vibration, they'll become delivered. Then Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur, then what about the trees and plants, the rocks and mountains? How will they derive the benefit from this Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Haridas Thakur replied that the echo of the mantra that comes back from the resounding from the trees and plants and rocks and mountains, they are not really echoes. It is the chanting of the trees and plants and the rocks and mountains. So this is how powerful the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this most degraded age of Kali to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. The living entities in this age of Kali are so degraded, so fallen, that there is no hope for anyone in this age. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In this respect, it has been mentioned that when the disease is very severe, the medicine also has to be equally potent. So for this very serious disease of the living entities in the age of Kali, the very potent mantra, very potent medicine in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the this is the wonderful causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu also mentioned that this Hare Krishna Mahamantra does not depend, does not consider the formality of initiation and purification. Diksha Purascharja Vidhi Apekshana Kare Achandale Jubhasparshe Shabare Uddhare. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra does not depend upon or does not consider the formality of Diksha, initiation and Purashcharya Vidhi, the process of purification. Otherwise, the initiation requires that. These are the prerequisites of initiation. One has to become purified before initiation. Therefore, there are these other considerations of tap, pondra, etc. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra does not depend upon this Purashcharya Vidhi. But following the instructions of Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instituted this initiation of accepting the process of receiving the mantra through initiation, and Srila Prabhupada instituted that in ISKCON. Therefore, in ISKCON, there is a first consideration is the receiving of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the second is the Gayatri Mantra, receiving Gayatri Mantra. You heard about first initiation and second initiation. That is the consideration of first and second. Now, Mahaprabhu said, even the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra does not require initiation. Then why is this process of initiation while receiving the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Because one aspect of initiation is receiving the mantra, and the other aspect of initiation is surrender. One is the diksha. The word diksha is a combination of two syllables, di and ksha. Di stands for dibbanganam, and ksha stands for kshiyate, diyate and kshiyate. Dibbanganam yato daddat kurjat papasya sankshayam tato dikshete shaprokta deshikoi tattakovidai. By receiving this transcendental sound vibration, divvagyan, one becomes free from his sinful reactions. Therefore, this process is called diksha. And the divvagyan aspect is receiving of mantra. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the mantra available for anyone and everyone. Anyone actually can chant Hare Krishna. As a matter of fact, in ISKCON, one of the prerequisite of receiving diksha is that one has to chant 16 rounds every day for 1 year. So that means even before he got the mantra, to be qualified to receive the mantra, one has to chant the mantra 16 rounds for at least 1 year. So that means he already received the mantra. Yes, he received the mantra by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But therefore, the mantra, for the sake of receiving the mantra, diksha is not necessary. Then what is, why then diksha is important? That other aspect of diksha is diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan shei kale krishna tare kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, a disciple surrenders himself. Diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan. He surrenders himself. And shei kale krishna tare kare atma samarpan. And at that time, Krishna accepts him. The disciple surrenders, the candidate surrenders to Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. And at that time, Krishna accepts him. Krishna tare kare atma sham. So Prabhupada pointed out that although this mantra is not necessary, diksha is not necessary to receive the mantra, but for the sake of officially surrender, there is the need of diksha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So lift it up. It's all right. Don't worry. So, now the question is, then what's the need for second initiation? Actually, Mahamantra is superior to Gayatri Mantra. Mahamantra is the greatest of all mantras. So what's the need of Gayatri Mantra, which is actually inferior to Mahamantra? Prabhupada pointed out that Gayatri is meant to be meditated upon. Hare Krishna Mahamantra can be chanted loudly in kirtan and can also be meditated upon. But Gayatri is meant for meditation only. Gayatri mantra cannot be loudly chanted. Gayatri is meant to be meditated upon. Here also we can explain briefly about the difference between Gayatri and Mahamantra. The Gayatri has three aspects. The Gayatri mantra, there are many Gayatris. But all Gayatris will have three structure, the three aspects. The first aspect of Gayatri is Veej, or seed. The second aspect of Gayatri is Naam, or the name of the personality who is being indicated or meditated upon by this mantra. And the third aspect is Nyas, which means how the mantra is meant to be meditated upon. Veej, Naam and Nyas. These are the three aspects of Gayatri. And every Gayatri must have these three aspects, and one must meditate upon according to the way it has been indicated to meditate upon the mantra. Now, of these three, Bij, Naam and Nyas, Naam, or the name of the personality who is being indicated by the mantra, is in the middle. And what is in the middle is the most important aspect. The Naam is the most important aspect. Just like in the locket, the most important, the most precious gem is in the middle. In Gita, there are 18 chapters. First 6 chapters, second 6 chapters and third 6 chapters. Of these three, the first aspect is indicating karma, the second aspect is indicating bhakti, and the third aspect is indicating jnana. So of karma, jnana and bhakti, which one is most important? Bhakti. But where it has been kept? It has been kept in the middle. Just as a precious object is kept as a secret, similarly, in the Vedic custom, the most important aspect is kept in the middle. So of Veej, Naam and Nyas, the most important aspect is the Naam, the name. Now this mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, why it is Mahamantra? Because in this mantra, there is no consideration of Vij or Nyas. There is only name and the name and the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why it is Mahamantra. Similarly, the Panchatattva mantra also is considered to be Mahamantra. Why? Because it is, this mantra also consists of only the names. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So these names of the personality that is being indicated by the mantra is considered to be the most important aspect. And of all the names, which name is most important? The name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the Maha Mantra and the most powerful medicine for this degraded age of Kali. But the second initiation, receiving of Gayatri Mantra, is also very, very important, because through Gayatri Mantra we learn the process of meditation. How Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be meditated upon is understood by meditating on Gayatri Mantra. Like, this mantra is meant to take us deeper and deeper within ourselves, into the spiritual dimension. And another consideration of the importance of Gayatri Mantra is that although we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but at the same time we are following the Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations given in the scriptures. And one of the very important aspect of this Vaidhi Bhakti is deity worship. Although we have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra we can become delivered and go back to the spiritual sky, but still this Vaidhi Bhakti aspect requires the worshipping of the deities in the temple. Now, the worship of the deities in the temple is executed following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. We can't worship the deities whimsically, especially in the temple. Like, we have to worship the deities in a temple in a very strict way, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And the criteria for worshipping the deities is that one has to become a Brahmin. The deity worship is done only by the Brahmin. Now, of course, previously the Brahminical consideration was mainly by birth. But again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revolutionized that process. He actually elevated the living entities to a platform which is beyond Brahminical platform, to the Vaishnav platform. Irrespective of one's birth, one could be elevated to the Brahminical platform, to the Vaishnav platform, which is higher than the Brahminical platform. And then, in the recent past, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instituted the custom of giving Brahmin Diksha to individuals who are not even born in Brahminical families. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's consideration was, since the Vaishnav platform is higher than the Brahminical platform, and these devotees who have become Vaishnavas, giving them second initiation or Brahmin initiation is not contradictory to the custom of the Vedas. Anyway, that's a very extensive point, subject matter to discuss. I won't go into that. I simply want to say that the process of giving second initiation was reinstituted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Otherwise, the consideration of second initiation was that a person who is born in a Brahminical family would receive the Upanayan or Brahmin Diksha when he reached certain age. He was taken to a guru, or he approached a spiritual master and he received the Gayatri Mantra, which qualified him to study the Vedas. The understanding was Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth, everyone is a Shudra. Even a Brahman's son is also Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra. But Sangaskarat Bhavati Dvija. But by the process of purification, one becomes twice born. And the second birth is through initiation, where the spiritual master is the father and Vedas are the mother. So Sangaskarat Bhavati Dvija. He used to become qualified to study the Vedas after receiving his spiritual birth, second birth. And then Veda Pathat Bhavet Vipra. By studying the Vedas, he used to become a Vipra and Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. And when one became Brahman realized, then he was considered to be a Brahmana. So those days, this consideration was according to qualification, not only by birth. Even a Brahmana's son had to become qualified to become a Brahmana. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very aptly considered that in the age of Kali, everyone is a Shudra. Asuddha Shudra Kalpahi Brahmana Kali Sambhava. In the age of Kali, even the Brahmanas have become like Shudras. Asuddha has become impure as the Shudras. Therefore, he instituted this process of second initiation. The deity worship in the temple cannot be performed only by the so-called Brahmanas, those who are born in a Brahmin family, but qualitatively they are not Brahmanas. So he instituted the standard of initiating the Vaishnavas and engaging them in the deity worship and other such Brahminical activities. And Srila Prabhupada followed that same standard. What his spiritual master established, Srila Prabhupada simply followed that standard. And at one point, Prabhupada even said that even in India, I have to bring the Brahmanas from America. Prabhupada pointed out that the purpose of ISKCON is to create Brahmanas. He Prabhupada said, I am creating Brahmanas all over the world. Not just by some false claim, but by qualifying them and bringing them to that platform, Prabhupada was creating the Brahmanas. And that's why he said, and we can see that today, the standard of deity worship that has been established by ISKCON is the highest in any calculation. Even in India, there are many very famous temples with very strict Brahminical standard, but compared to ISKCON's standard of deity worship, they all are rather insignificant. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada actually established the real spiritual standard through the devotees of ISKCON. So, therefore, there is the standard of second initiation in ISKCON. The first initiation is the initiation through which we receive the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and second initiation is the initiation through which one receives the Gayatri mantra. So today we are going to hold this second initiation ceremony for Sunil Madhav Das, whom you all know very well. He is the temple president and a very illustrious temple president. Actually, in this way Sunil Madhav set up a standard for everyone that no matter how busy we may be in our profession, but still we can commit ourselves in promoting Srila Prabhupada's mission by taking a very, very important responsibilities. So now I will request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to speak. Maharaj knows Sunil Madhav for many years, and he has a very deep relationship with Sunil Madhav. So I will request Maharaj to speak, and then Chandramouli Maharaj, who also has a very deep relationship with Sunil Madhav, they can just speak about it, and then we'll go into the initiation ceremony. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschatya Deshatharine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari.
I am very grateful to be here this evening for this very auspicious event. Before each ceremony of initiation, Srila Prabhupada would request all devotees to chant a particular sloka. Om apavitra apavitrova sarvavastam gatopiya Yasmarets Pundarikaksham Sabhayabhyantara Suchi. Purified or unpurified, or even having passed through various situations of life, one who remembers the Supreme Lord, who is all beautiful, and whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower, such a person is purified both within and without. This is the purpose of human life, purification. It is what distinguishes the human being from all other species. in the 7th canto of the Bhagavad Purana, Prahlad, he teaches his 5-year-old classmates, Komara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabam manusan janma tad apyatruvam atrisa. Human life is so rare. It is so precious. And every moment is more valuable than anything that money could purchase. Therefore, Prahlad tells his little friends, do not waste this valuable human life. We do not know when it will end. The time for purification is now. The tendency of human psychology is to procrastinate, to make insignificant goals a priority and the most essential goals either not a priority at all, ignored, or something that is not considered seriously. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, was approached by a woman. She said, I have a son. He's very young. I want you to teach him knowledge. Aristotle said, I will certainly teach him. But tell me, what is his age? She said, he is very young. He said, how old is he? He's only 5 years old. Aristotle replied, Madam, he's already 5 years too late. When we want to learn what is valuable in life, we have to take it that seriously. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthitaiva bhajamyaham. As we approach the Lord reciprocates accordingly. According to our sincerity, according to our priorities, the Lord will reveal himself to us. Yes, human life is very precious, and it is very rare. And the rarest thing in human life is how we utilize every moment. And the rarest commodity we can achieve at every moment. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare is the association of saintly persons and the association of the Lord who is within our hearts. It is for this reason that we chant the holy names. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna is none different than his name. Nam Nama Kari Bahuta Nija Sarvashaktish. That all the potencies, all the mercy of the Lord is within the name of the Lord. When we chant God's names, and God has many names, and in each and every one of these names, in all the great religions of the world, God has invested his presence and his power. Krishna is pavitra. He is all pure. What we associate with, we become. When we associate with the all pure, we become purified. This is the purpose of human life. This is the purpose of initiation. to connect ourselves with the presence of the Supreme Lord and become pure. Today, there is a great need to respect the ecology of our planet. There are serious problems which could culminate in great devastation. Recently, I was in the Himalayas on the bank of the Ganges in the holy city of Rishikesh. My dear godbrother Shamsundar Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal secretary from 1967 for many years, he came and we spent time together. Now for about 30 years he has been a very, very accomplished geologist. So he reads those scientific studies of geology. He told me a report of research that has been done by great geologists just recently, which caused my heart to shudder. Would you like to hear? But I warn you, human life is a life of responsibility. Once we know something, we are responsible to live accordingly. He explained that the cities of India, due to their negligence of honoring the ecology of our planet, and due to so much corruption in the laws that are being made, there is such immense pollution. If you think Chicago or New York are polluted, please visit our temple in Bombay, or Calcutta, or Delhi, or Chennai, or practically any city. So much pollution from the factories, from the rickshaws, auto rickshaws, from the taxis, from the trucks, the lorries. What happens is all that goes up into the sky, and then the wind takes it, and much of that pollution goes to the peaks of the Himalayas. When I was in the Himalayas 35 years ago, I remember those peaks were so white. Himalaya means the abode of snow. But now I go to some of those same places, and there's not that much snow. And there's a lot of gray. What is that gray? It is the pollution falling on the snow, which attracts a greater degree of the heat of the sun. The Himalayan peaks are melting faster than they've ever melted in modern history. The glaciers are dwindling. According to this research of top scientists in geology, they predict, this is not from the scriptures, this is from the scientists. Scriptures, we can discuss that another time. They are saying that if India and the world in that sense don't make serious decisions about changing their laws for pollution immediately. By the year 2050, there will be no river Ganges. There will be no river Yamuna. There will not be any rivers in northern India. Now, for those of you who know India, the whole economy, the whole life of everyone is based on those rivers. They're the source of water. The wells are getting their water from these rivers. It would cause massive drought, poverty, starvation, chaos, and loss of lives. But is anyone doing anything about it? They don't even publish the reports in the newspapers. And it's not just India. Antarctica, the solar ice caps, they're melting also because of so much pollution. Which would mean Bombay will simply be a bay, unless Pakistan bombs it before. This is the reality. New York will be old York, something of the past. Los Angeles will be Lost Angeles. We laugh, but it's a reality that's right on top of our heads, like a guillotine that's ready to chop it off. Srila Prabhupada explains a goat is in the slaughterhouse and he's eating nice grass and he's so distracted by eating the grass he doesn't know that at any moment the axe is right over his head coming down. But we're so distracted by eating the nice grasses of our occupation and our family and our entertainment and our baseball and football and basketball and cricket for Indian people and by all our social relationships and by all our anxieties due to all of these things that are going on. What to speak of television shows and everything like that. We're so distracted. We don't see it's coming down. We don't take it seriously. Human life is meant for responsibility. It's not the lizards or the cows or even the lions or the tigers or the elephants that are causing these problems that are threatening the earth. It's human society. It is serious. We have a responsibility collectively to do something about purifying, cleaning the environment. But it begins with cleaning the environment of the heart. Because if that is not clean, any type of project to improve the environment will not survive. What is the reason for all this pollution? It is greed, selfishness, egotism, lust, envy, anger, pride. These impurities within our hearts are impelling us to act in so many harmful ways, irresponsible ways. Arjuna asked Krishna in the third chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, why? Why, my Lord? Even a person who understands with their good intelligence what is right and wrong, what impels that person to commit sinful activities which are harmful to himself and others? Krishna replied, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna shamudbhava, mahashino mahapapma, vidyenam ihavairanam.
It is kama. It is this lust. Lust doesn't just mean between man and woman. It is this passion to enjoy. Passion for selfish, egoistic enjoyment. That is the deadly, sinful enemy of the whole world. It is that greed that causes husband and wife to often become enemies, brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, over money. We have seen, I live in India mostly, families that grew up and ate at the same table for decades and decades. Now sometimes they live in the same building and they haven't even looked at each other's eyes or spoken in decades. Fighting over money. No happiness, no peace, anxiety. How can you be happy when you hate your relatives? When you're fighting, competing in the courts, trying to destroy each other. Is that a happy life? Is that a quality life? And the wars of the world. In days of yore, they were based on idealism. But today, it's based on wealth and power. Land, which brings money and power. Individually, collectively, so much conflict, so much pollution, so much suffering, so much waste of human life because of this lust, anger, pride, greed, and illusion that is within our hearts. Every human being's first and foremost responsibility to God is to clean their own hearts and help others, inspire others to clean their hearts. Otherwise, there is no real meaning, purpose, or happiness in life. Superficial happiness is there, but the substance of what the soul is starving for is the love for God. And without that love of God, life is essentially empty. Kamaladala jala jivana talamala. And all of our pleasures in this world are like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. It's there for some time and then it's gone. We're looking for what is permanent. Because the soul is eternal, the soul is longing and craving for eternal pleasure. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punamrita svadhanam. When we clean our heart, that love of God that is dormant within every living entity is awakened. Lord Chaitanya told, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Kodiye Udai. True spirituality is beyond all sectarianism. What is religion about? It is about awakening the essence of the heart. Love of God is within everyone. It is our constitutional nature. It is the very dharma of the soul. to know God, to love God, to be in ecstasy. The mirror of the mind is so covered with so many thick layers of dirt and dust in the form of our misconceptions, our selfish, egoistic attachments, that we don't see our own image in the mirror of our mind. All we see is our misconceptions, our attachments. That which we're longing for, that what we're to achieve, and that which we're lamenting that we lost. This chanting of God's name in this age of Kali, as His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj has so beautifully, comprehensively explained, is the most powerful method of cleaning the mirror of our heart. Removing all of that pollution and allowing us to see who we really are, to experience God's love within us. Today is Father's Day. It is a commandment in the Holy Bible to honor one's mother and father. That is a universal principle of all great spiritual paths. In my experience in India in the past 37 years, I have seen such unbelievable respect for children, for their parents, in families who have actually imbibed the culture of the Vedas. Not just on Father's Day, on Mother's Day, but every day. I've seen in cultured families that children, even when they're 50 years old, what to speak when they're 5 years old, when they first see their parents, they touch their feet and put the dust on their head as an act of respect. They bow down. And they faithfully serve their parents when they're old. They don't send them off to nursing homes. The parents live with the children. The concept is, when I was helpless as an infant and a baby and a child, my parents were there for me. And when they get old and they become helpless, I'm going to be there 24 hours a day for them. That's a culture. Krishna says in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita. I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. Janmastyasya Yadaha. Krishna is the absolute truth. What is the nature of the absolute truth? Whom everything emanates from. The cause of all causes, the source of everything. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instruction to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, he said, go to everyone you meet. No one is too low, no one is too high. Go to everyone and give them this simple message. Go to the field workers. Go to the drunkards. Go to the kings, the aristocrats, the business people, everyone. Wherever you see a human being, in their shops, in their marketplaces, in the bathing ghats, in their homes, beg them with straw between your teeth, which is a sign of great humility, and give them this message. Please, sir. Please, madam. Take the name of Krishna. Chant the name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. We give our father or mother a gift on Father's Day and Mother's Day. But whatever them or anyone else has given to us, they have received from Krishna. He's giving us at every moment the air we breathe, the rain, the food grains. He's given us our body, our mind, our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hands to move. Krishna's given everything. To reciprocate with God's love is the greatest responsibility for every human being. And how do we reciprocate? By trying to purify our lives and help others to purify their lives so that we can access that love that is within us. That is the purpose of initiation. First initiation and second initiation have been described so beautifully by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And something very interesting I was thinking about when he was talking. Can I share it with you, please? I ask your permission because without the blessings of great souls like you, I have no qualification to speak anything, actually. He was explaining how Sunil Madhava Prabhu, he took his Harinam initiation, first initiation, 10 years ago. And Sunil Madhava Prabhu was such an exemplary devotee. Many years ago, he was a congregational member of this temple. And it was in disrepair, and he was his own money, his own contracting company, his own hard work, he was renovating it. I remember any time anybody asked him to help for anything, he was right there to help, despite so busy companies and so busy families. Just such an amazing service attitude. Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, Romapad Swami, I remember, they were the GBCs then. When there was lack of a president and they didn't know what to do and the temple was in a major crisis, they asked him to come and be president. Now, how many of you who are working outside with a job and with a family would be willing to take that responsibility? I remember he said, if that's how I can best serve, I'm willing to do. And he did. And he's still doing. Very dedicated soul. Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj gave him first initiation in 1997 for even regular old brahmacharis. Usually 1 or 2 years after initiation, they get second initiation. 10 years! Maharaj is very, very conservative. But the amazing thing is his relation with his Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gave him first initiation, and within 3 months, he gave him second initiation and sannyas.
I was not running a business.
3 initiations. First initiation, second initiation, sannyas initiation. He was in his early 20s. In 3 months. Arivo. It's very amazing. Vaishnavanam Vaishnavera Kriyamudra Vigyena Bhujai. It's very difficult to understand what is in the heart of a great saint like Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. But we can understand today is a very, very special day. And I'm very grateful to be amongst all of you to witness it. But please,
along with this initiation, we should all within our own hearts, very privately, be taking an internal initiation ourselves. Which means really, really contemplating the priorities we're making in our lives. Contemplating how seriously we are actually taking the responsibility of purifying our own hearts in this life. And not procrastinating. Because real initiation is not just an external ceremony. It is the commitment of responsibility toward purification within the heart. One time, a devotee took initiation from Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, and the next day that person kind of disappeared. And somebody told Srila Prabhupada, he said, he was never initiated. He threw the grains, he got his name, he got his beads. Prabhupada said he was never initiated. He went through the external form of initiation, but the real substance of initiation is the internal commitment of the heart to the path of purification through Guru and Parampara to Krishna. And that we can all do, even today, if we have the will to do so. Thank you very much. And thank you, Sunil Madhava Prabhu, for your wonderful devotional service. And thank you, Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, for your mercy upon all of us. Hare Krishna.
Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya Devi Satarine, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunditananda, Sri Advaita Gadadara, Sivasari Gauravakta Vindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So we have so eloquently and powerfully heard from these two great personalities. From Bhakti Chamu Maharaj, he has gone deep into the meaning of the process of initiation, given us deep philosophical insights to verify both the importance and the tradition of initiation with great, great scriptural evidence. And this is important to understand because it gives validity, it gives value, it gives appreciation, and it gives us a sense of importance to this process of initiation. And from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he has so powerfully explained the purpose of human life and the purification of the heart, and how without that purification of the heart, really real life has not actually developed to the human form. So I would just like to speak briefly, because I've been asked to speak, that this process of initiation, as explained, is part of the process of realizing our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tadbigyar gurum abhigatshe. Tadbigyartham gurum abhigatshe. It's mentioned in the scriptures that one must
Srila Prabhupada says this word abhigacchay, it's not a small word. It means must. One must take the shelter of a bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Learn the process of devotional service. Follow his instructions carefully and with great attention, with great determination, and ultimately make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. This is not optional. It is, what we say, essential in order to achieve the perfection of life. The perfection of life, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has so nicely explained, is intricately related to the nature of the living entity's existence. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sabu Karunai Sravanadi Siddhi Chitte Koriye Udai. That in the heart of all living beings, pure love for God is there. And human life means to awaken that, because that is what the living entity is looking for, longing for, and striving for. Looking outward towards the activities of the material world in terms of the responsibilities that one has in life are necessary in order to live. But if they are not aligned with this goal of awakening love of God within the heart, then the scriptures say, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, that it's all a useless waste of time. What is the value of achieving material position, success, facilities for sense gratification, good health, good wealth, whatever, if actually none of these things are supportive of the process of purification of the heart? They're all useless. So this process of initiation means, as Srila Prabhupada has said, and has been emphasized in tonight's talk, it's the beginning. It's the beginning. That we are practicing the process of chanting the holy names, associating with the devotees, ultimately to come to this point of sitting in the same place where Sunil Madhava is sitting. Just imagine yourself being in that situation now. Probably some of you cannot imagine that. But actually, this is actually what we say our destiny. It is actually the part of our awakening, of our good fortune. Therefore, this process of initiation should be seen not only as an individual thing that is being given by one particular devotee tonight, but we should see it all as something that we should strive for in our life. And of course, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj says, it's all about purification of the heart. The heart has been the mind, the living entity is associating with this material energy for countless lifetimes. The living entity has been described as Nitya Bada. Nitya means eternal, Bada means conditioned. The definition given by the Shastra illustrates something really interesting in relationship to the meanings of these words. How is it possible that the living entity can be eternally conditioned? And we understand that the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and that has at one point in our existence been in the spiritual world with the Supreme Lord. How can we be called eternally conditioned? Well, that particular term is used to emphasize that one cannot trace out the beginning of one's conditioning. It is so deep. Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture in Germany, I believe it was in 1974, he says that he was speaking to a group of young people in Germany. He says, you have been in all 8 million species of life. He says, every living entity now in the human form of life has traversed through all the 8 million species of life. That means aquatics, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, insects, beasts. We cannot even consider imagining our existence in these lower forms. It's completely foreign to our existence, and it's not even possible that we'll be able to recall anything like that. But it is a fact. So therefore, human life is rare and it's special. Why? Because in human life, one has the opportunity for perfection of life. That is the perfect opportunity to reach the goal of life, which is to develop our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the purpose of life. There is no second purpose. There is no second purpose. This is mentioned in all revealed scriptures. Scriptures give concessions for other activities, simply to elevate one to a higher standard of spiritual practice. But ultimately, the goal is ultimately to develop love for Krishna. And therefore, this process of initiation is a part of that process of developing love. It's mentioned in the scriptures that when we come into this material world, we are a debtor. We're responsible to pay back the debts to our parents because they have given us our body. They have nourished us, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has known nicely explained, the culture behind Vedic understanding of growing up within the family. But the scriptures actually say that we have a debt to our parents. We have to pay that back. We have a debt to society because they provide us the amenities we need to live. We have a debt to the sages who give us spiritual knowledge and guidance. We have a debt to the devas. They provide the elements, sunshine, rain, air. We're responsible to pay back all these debts. And therefore, if one doesn't pay back these debts, one gets a reaction for not paying the debt. Srila Prabhupada would say, if you know you don't pay your electrical bill, then the company, they shut off your current. And then you're without electricity. But God, Krishna has given us the sunlight. So we have some responsibility to pay back these debts. But the scriptures say that when one takes to devotional service to the Lord and engages in devotional service to the Lord, all these debts are automatically eradicated. Why? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of all these aspects of existence. And one who serves the Lord actually serves all these other debts simultaneously. And there's no requirement to satisfy these responsibilities separately. So we should see what it means to take birth in this world, to have a human body. It actually means to seriously look towards the path of spirituality as the only goal in life. His Grace Sunil Malava, as we heard from both of these great souls, how much he's dedicated his time, his energy, his life, his resources to practice spiritual life. Spiritual life means sacrifice. It means to give up what I think is best and ultimately accept a higher principle in life. That principle is the desire of the Lord, the desire of the Lord's pure devotee, for the perfection of one's existence. Therefore, Sunil Malava has worked so hard, and I've seen it because I've been here since the time he... Actually, he was here before I was. I came in 1996, and I've been... 95, actually. And I've been here, and I've seen him tirelessly working to make this temple something very wonderful. With responsibilities with his family, with responsibilities with his job, he comes every day, greets the deities, leads kirtan, sometimes gives class, and he's there inspiring the devotees in different ways in their different services. He has become very much, a part of everyone's life in the temple. And everyone loves Sunil Malava. Why? Because he's a Vaishnav. And one who develops Vaishnav qualities, they're very attractive by nature. This is the quality that makes everyone attractive, their qualities of devotion to the Lord and how they exhibit that devotion in their day-to-day life and in relationship with others. So I'm very honored to be here. It's interesting. I actually tried to be at another place during this weekend, not knowing about this ceremony. I worked hard to go somewhere else, and I had to find out where the date of that other event was. I was invited. I was enthusiastic to come. Krishna would not allow me to find out that date of the other event until I was invited by Sunil Madhava to come to his initiation. So I consider that Krishna's arrangement, that I was able to come and be here. And I'm happy because I felt like if I wasn't here, I would miss something very wonderful. So I thank the Lord within the heart for allowing me to be here for this particular session, for this particular ceremony. And I just want you all to shower your blessings and mercy on Sunil Madhava and give him your kindness and encouragement. To be a temple president is not an easy position. To get into some practical explanation of that, years ago when our movement first started, to become a temple president was very much what we sought after by the leading devotees in our movement for many reasons. To get Srila Prabhupada's personal association as he would interact with the temple presidents and their day-to-day activities, he would speak with them. They looked forward to getting that association. They wanted to be temple president. They wanted to be in that position. They also wanted to serve in that position. There's one story many years ago in Chicago, actually. There were three devotees that were candidate for the next temple president. It was that the position had just been evacuated, and three of them were considered as the next temple president. So one of them achieved the temple president position. The other two went out and started their own temples because they were so enthusiastic for that position. Nowadays, it's not like that anymore. If you're a temple president, you do 9 things right, you do 1 thing wrong. Everyone knows about the one thing. You don't get too much praise, you don't get too much glory, you get a lot of blame. There's even a few jokes about not the how temple presidency is not such a wonderful responsibility because it is hard work. It is definitely hard work. So Sunil Madhava has taken up the responsibility. And he's done his best to serve Srila Prabhupada in that position, and we all appreciate that. But most of all, what we really appreciate, he has a wonderful, wonderful personality. He's so very sweet, gentle, and he's so very interested in serving Vaishnavas. And that is the heart of Krishna consciousness, to serve the Vaishnavas. And he does that in a very enthusiastic way. So, thank you very much, Sunil Madhava. I think we're all very much honored to be here in this particular ceremony. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharajas, for your profound spiritual mercy and realizations. Now I would request everybody to kindly move a little bit in the back so that we can conduct the yajna ceremony and the initiation